to our journey in the Song of Solomon and back into chapter 2. And we left off, even though we started off with such exuberant desire, such amazing transformation so quickly as our bridegroom, our husband, loved upon us, took us into the depth of his chamber. All of the intimacy, it didn't wait. It went full go. Praise God. But this is our journey. And you know what? Sometimes we come to difficult times. Even though we've been on such a height and such a realm of this joy, it's amazing how difficult things can be so quickly. Think it not strange, the fiery trial that comes. Amen. Out of nowhere. He didn't realize how that could even happen. Sometimes we can see things that built up. Sometimes we just see it. My goodness, there wasn't even a kindling fire. It just, everything just burnt. But beauty for ashes, saints. Amen. Thanks be to God. But this is where we left off, right there in verse 11. The winter is past, the rain is over and gone. I'll tell you, are you ready to suffer to win Christ? Well, it doesn't matter, he's ready. And you said, I'll go. So you're in it. And he's faithful, and he's going to bring you through. Because this is our song. This is how it's going to be. You're not going to be singing from the mountaintop all the time. You're going to be through that dark mile. And you're sometimes going to wonder, Lord, how in the world am I going to get out of this one? But God, always remember he does his finest work in the depths of your greatest misery. In the depths of your greatest failure, that's when he brings you a reigning heart glory like was brought to David through Bathsheba. He brings you the heir to your throne. He brings you a Solomon. This is God, saints. This is God's grace, and that's going to be the way that we take is going to be God's grace. So we're in this deep winter time, aren't we? But Christ is so in love with us, he's calling to us, and we've heard him say this 2 times last week, and I'm praying we're hearing him say this all the time. My love. That should get your attention. When Jesus calls to you and says, my love, and that's how he calls to you, you know that. That's the air that he has given you. That's how he calls to you. And you call back, yes, beloved. Yes, my lover. Yes, lover of my soul. Come on. This is our song. But if we will just hear him say, my love, we will come out. And I'll tell you how we'll come out. We'll rise up. We'll rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Praise be to God. That winter time, when we hear that, it's gone. It's as if we're not even in the furnace anymore. It's as if we're not in the lion's den. We may be there physically, but we're not there in spirit, praise his name. And then what happens when we hear him, when we hear that love, we begin to encourage ourselves in the Lord. And think back what that means. Encourage yourself in the Word of God. Encourage yourself in what you know of the Word of God. That's why it's so important to know who you are in Christ. To know this truth and to know the depths of it and the heights of it and the breadth of it and the length of it, which is all the love of Christ. But when we can encourage ourselves in that glory, nothing can contain us. It can't. It just bursts out. Hallelujah. It's a joy unspeakable and full of glory. And this is why I thank the Lord so much for this. And we're going to suffer the most and in this greatest of depths of spirit, because God has before ordained this to show forth what pleases him, the greatest of faith in these times, to magnify his grace. It's faith that it might be of grace. Amen? That's why he has us believe. And believing is not what we see. Matter of fact, it's completely opposite of that. But that's the beauty of all of this. It's the love of Christ that constrains me. It's the love of Christ that propels me all the way through. So when we encourage ourselves, brothers and sisters, in the Lord or in the Word, what happened here with us and with this precious sister in verses 12 and 13, she immediately, as we saw there, that referred back to, or I shouldn't say back to, in a sense, forward to Israel and what is going to happen with bringing Israel back to the Father. She's rejoicing in ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ. That's how she's quickening her heart in this long winter time that he's saying, honey, it's done, it's over. Call those things which be not as though they were. Oh yes, we're going to see it. To her, in her mind, she was still back in the winter, but he's already, I'll tell you what, he's already in the hot summer and saying, honey, you need to just be thinking about departure. The departure's at hand. I shall come. I will come. I will not tarry. I'm coming for you, honey. It's soon. Brothers and sisters, I thank God we're on this camel train, and by the grace of God, we are, if not tonight, we are so close to that final hill. As the Word of God says, we're going to see that raven-headed one bobbing up and down through the field. Can you see him? Calling out. Hallelujah. The exceeding riches of his grace are about to commence. So, rise up. Rise up. We need to be up now. Amen. We need to have our hearts and our affections set on the things above. We need to be loving his appearing now. And this is what's so sweet, is verse 14 as we begin tonight. Here is the bridegroom speaking to her. O my dove that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice and thy countenance is comely. Oh, this is gorgeous. And this is so sweet because this shows, brothers and sisters, we've been hiding. We've been hiding in this winter time. We think we're away from him somehow. But isn't this interesting? Where are we hiding? We're in the cleft of the rock. I think he was prepared for this, wasn't he? Because we're hidden away in where? In him. We never leave in him. We're hidden away in him. See, his constant wooing, the loveliness of our bridegroom. We may fear at times. We may be challenged, bridal saints, but he abides faithful. Listen to the beauty of his words again to us. Oh, my dove. So here she is being encouraged. Honey, the winter's past. The rain is over. You need to be thinking about what we're going to be sharing forever together. You need to be set upon ruling and reigning and all the things that are coming forth in just a moment. And then he says to her, because she's still distracted here, oh, my dove, isn't that beautiful? He calls her his dove. Remember the dove's eyesight? You can only see here. Right here, honey, my dove, look at me. Look at me, sweetheart. Come on, right here. Oh, my dove that are in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. Think of how he likes to look upon you. Think of how he loves to hear your voice. Oh, and here's what he tells you. Sweet is your voice. And your countenance, you're just beautiful. That's how you get somebody to respond to you. See, this is why we need to hear this from our Lord. So you continue to hear servant, 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 you're going to get tired. How could you ever get tired of somebody telling you you're the most beautiful, most elegant, most lovely, most brilliant, your voice, the things you have to say to me, I just can't get over. Just, I'm going to sit here and just look at you forever. Why do you think David just said to Abishai, just come stand before me, honey? I just want to gaze upon your beauty. Why do you think then the son that inherited her as his wife, see, isn't that gorgeous? The father, David, all he wanted to do was stare upon her because she was so beautiful. But the father knew that it wasn't for him, in a sense, for the wedship, but that was his daughter. So now here comes the groom, the father's son. And he gets it real quick. Without her, I don't have a kingdom. And I think there have been a lot of women in that kingdom for a lot of time. That woman just showed up. This is us, saints. This is our life. So the beautiful thing of this is he knew that she would be there. He knows where we're at, always. And the beautiful thing is that he's the cleft in the rock. He's where you think you're hiding. You're in him. Praise God. He was waiting. He's the wing that covers you, even when you're trying to get away. It's what's always our Lord. It's what he is. But here's what I want to go with. Turn on over to Exodus chapter 33. I'm going to ask you, saints, what is always revealed in the cleft of the rock? Let's read what's revealed in the cleft of the rock. All right. Exodus 33. This is Moses. Moses wants to see the glory of God. And in verse 18 of chapter 33, and he said, I beseech thee, show me, God, thy glory. And he said, okay, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Here you are, mercy and gracious. Praise God. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in a cliff of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts. Remember those back parts? Thou shalt see the future. Moses was looking at the bride coming past him. Go back and listen to those studies. Don't forget these things. I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Brothers and sisters, you're chosen for glory. That's it. I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. I'll have mercy upon whom I'll have mercy. Period. Period. Grace called you to this. And so immediately after that, he says to her, but now, listen. This is about me. The Lord is saying, this is about me. You're mine. All right? So knock it off. I want to gaze upon your beauty. I want to hear your lovely voice. I just want to hear you, honey. I want you to speak to me, my love. That just kind of settles you down. I don't care what we're going through tonight. It doesn't matter what it is. This is what is. Now, this hits us. And the reason this hits us is this is the true chastening of the Lord in our lives. It's his love. It's his love. Sometimes we always are thinking about the chastening. It's like, oh, well, chastening is punishment. No, the chastening's in love, and it's to know his love and to get us still to know his love. Oftentimes, he'll allow these things, not just allow them, will them in our lives so that we do. Yes, we do make our bed in hell. So he can be right there with us. That we have no one else to go to. Nobody can help us. And we think that even Jesus can't. But he's waiting for us for that place because he's the cleft of the rock. She thought she was fleeing and all she was doing was getting closer to him because he wills it, because he's gracious to whom he'll be gracious. I tell this to people oftentimes, brother, it just sounds like you can't lose. I can't. It sounds like you can never get away from being in the bride of Christ. I'm telling you right now, his grace will keep me in. He told me that he'll perform the good work which he's begun. I understand that I have not yet apprehended that which is apprehended me, but he apprehends me. That's it. He will do the work. He will do the work. All of the manifestation of the work that he will do has to come forth. Amen? Praise the Lord. And I'm seeing it more and more all the time. I thank the Lord for it. I'm not going in here doubting my husband. I trust my husband. I trust him completely. I'm reliant upon him. I can't do this. You can't do this. You can't run. He has to do it. He is the motivation. He's the strength. He's been made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. It's everything, saints. Everything. And everything is guaranteed by him. That's the beauty of all this. This is the beauty of this unraveling of the precious types and shadows in the Jewish wedding, in the commitments that they have, in the ketubah, the contract from the groom to the bride, which put nothing on the bride. It was just all to her benefit. The keeping of the marriage was all on him. Everything. All she had to do was to just abide in it, just accept it, enjoy it, wait. No toiling, it was done. No toiling, it is done. And here are the ears that he's appointed to hear it. Trust him. I'm thankful I come in now to listen to the bridal truth and I rest. I don't doubt, I don't wonder, I don't fret, I'm not wrestling, I'm chosen, I'm called, I'm justified, I'm sanctified, I'm glorified! It's so glorious! And we're waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, and it's okay, by the grace of God, groan. And I believe we're groaning, are we not? Thank you, Lord. And it's not to get away, it's to be with him. All of the other fringe benefits that come along with it. Amen. But it's him. It's him. It's him. It's him. So, how does it hit us? This chastening of the Lord. What it does is it causes a response in our hearts. And the response in our hearts is what the Lord just brought forth is, Jesus, you have to do this. You have to help me. I need more grace. And here he is, the one that gives grace for grace. And it never stops. And here is our call back to him. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. She says, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. There's a lot of layers here in this. There's a layer in this for Israel. But tonight and for this study, this is about us. This is about us. And what she's calling out to the Lord in this help, Lord, I need you to get rid of all this, all the roots of bitterness, all these little foxes. Lord, I can't do this. You have to do it. There's nothing between me and my Savior. The tender grapes, Lord, you're going to have to deal with all of it because you're the one and you are the one that makes me fruitful. You're going to have to protect all your fruit. But I'll tell you what's going on here as well too is she is getting overly concerned with others, ones that she wants to come unto the Lord. Follow this through, verses 16 and 17. She says to him, my beloved is mine and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved. That means turn from me. And be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. All right? Let's break this down because this is very important. And this is us, brothers and sisters. There's such beauty in what she says here. And I mean this. My lover is mine and I am his. There's nothing wrong with that, saints. There isn't anything wrong with that. It's a wonderful thing. It is okay that she even speaks of herself first before him. It's okay. When you're in love, you're in love. We love our lover. I want you to understand that. It'll grow. My beloved is mine and his desire is toward me. Yes, that grew on. But to understand that my beloved is mine and I am his, my lover is mine and I am his, that's a good thing. And you need to have that and you need to know that. And you need to be confident by the grace of God that he is your lover. And that he does love you, praise God. But the issue with the statement there in verse 16 is not the first part of it, it's the second. He feeds among the lilies. The Lord has not been about the lilies. The Lord has been about this whole time about you, one lily. Look back at verse 2 of chapter 2. As the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters. He's not occupied with the other lilies. He's occupied with one lily, you. You. Sure, he's going to be in that area of that because it's going to be his grace that does this. He is wonderfully in love with us. But it's wonderful to have a heart for all to run, brothers and sisters. But we have to understand this time right now is about the bride. This time right now to him is about the goodly pearl. Think of what he said to Peter. Lovest thou me more than these? Take that to the height of the love that we've been called to right now, saints. It's first love. It doesn't talk about second love or third love or fourth love. It's just first love and staying in first love. And we know what first love is. It's wedlock. It's wedlock. There's no others. It's him. And we must be in that first love. Being ready, saints, being ready is a heart, is a spirit that possesses the ruling and reigning life of the bride. It is a life that is ravished with rapture glory. You want to go. You want him. This is the heart, praise God, of Rebecca. Your family's trying to get you to just hesitate a little bit, wait a little bit longer, stay with us. I'm gone. See, that's why the Shulamites, we get towards this. That's why us, as we get towards this, we're going to be out of here. We all know these times of our lives. Now we look at this in some of the early parts of Song of Solomon. You say, well, my, I understand where I was at that time. I was in love. I knew that I was his wife. I knew. But there was this care for other things. And we can see how this care. It doesn't mean that we don't care for others and one another. We want all to run and to run well. But we don't run for them. They need to run. You give them the word. Let me tell you something. It's time to go. People will want to just drain you. And I'm telling you, I know it. And I'm so thankful. He makes us reservoirs. And by the grace of God, I want it to come out and to flow freely. But I want this little joint of the body, by the grace of God, to supply the bridal joints of the body. I want to be in this fellowship. I want to be in the fellowship of like precious faith saints. We don't have time to delay. We don't have time to entertain any foolishness, brothers and sisters. This is exact. This is a mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There's no other loves. There's no other gospel.
Amen.
There's no other faith. The making of books, there'll be no end. Why I would go to a garbage can to get a scrap, to wake up and say, wow, that was really good. It made me happy. It made me joyous. Okay, and then what? Then what? And it's the truth. And all of us need to wake up. That last bit. I don't want to have any foolishness. I don't want to have any of my self-righteousness. I want to be on the mark for the lover of my soul. What we feast upon, oh my, thank you, Lord. I don't have time to feel sorry for people that don't. I don't have time to feel sorry for my brethren that don't want it. We don't have time for that. It's time. The season is the season of love. And this is this season, honeys. And I'll tell you what, when you're ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ, you'll have a lot of folks to help. Matter of fact, Israel itself. And bringing that unfaithful wife back to the Father, praise God, that'll be a joy unspeakable and full of glory, won't it? And it's real. It's absolutely real. Thank you, God, that we believe. So, it's a ravished heart. It's about the one thing. It's what we rejoiced in on Sunday and Wednesday and Friday. It's just like the spirit of Abraham. Isn't that wonderful? He believed God's promise to him, and it was everything to him. Everything. It did not matter. That is the one, if you will, trait of all those of the worthies of faith. God said it. God's promise was greater than anything and everything. Nothing compared to it. It did not matter. It wasn't about hearing promises and thinking, oh, that sounds great, and we'll go give it a try. It's the heart of a Caleb. I mean, that's the panting heart for the promise. Why are we delaying, saints? Why would we even be goofing around? Get into the promised land now. That's that heart. That's that conqueror. That's the one, praise the Lord, that truly does believe that all the backing of grace is theirs. And I thank God he was confident, and we're confident that God is able to perform what God promised us. That's not a hard one to really put together, is it? God promised you, and God promised you that he'd perform it. So I'm going to believe that God is able to perform what God promised me. It's so simple. And yet we want to make it so complicated. And we thank the Lord because it's the beauty of faith to see past ourselves. Just remember that tomorrow. If the Lord tarry, and you say, man, was I even listening to the Bible study? Did I? And the Lord will quicken. The Lord will quicken. And really, it gets down to a few words with the Lord always. Jesus, you just love me. More grace. You've given me all, but let me just take more of it. And see, the beauty of this again, and we go back to it, it's not by my actions, it's not by my merit, it's not by my faithfulness, but it's by fully believing in his love promise. It's by fully believing in the bridal covenant that Jesus gave to us. That's the greater promise that you have. That's the greater thing that you have. Think of these incredible promises to these ones in the Word of God that we rejoice in all the time. And I thank the Lord, we're of the Word, we rejoice in that, we partake in that by faith and in a sense that we're of that body. But this is our promise. And that's glorious, isn't it? And this is, again, as we talk about time, dispensation, whatever, this is where we're at. And the covenant that we have with the Lord is the bridal covenant. That's glorious. It is. That's why it's the height of it all. We have the bridal covenant. And thank you, God, his promises are yea and amen. His promises are all backed by him. They're all performed by him. And one thing about God, it's impossible for him to lie. Amen. So, here's what's so beautiful as we wrap this up tonight. She's still a little bit distracted. And it's beautiful. Because you know what? That's me. He's telling us who we are in him. And she's still distracted thinking about others. And here it is again, brothers and sisters. We're thinking about others or thinking about other things, but his mind is what counts, right? His mind is what counts. What's his mind on? You. It's on her. It's on you. His mind is only on you. You think that his mind's on all these things. It's not. Those are all taken care of. He's just about you. He wants to look at you. He wants you to talk to him. He wants you to know how beautiful you are and how lovely your voice is. He's a lover. That's what's so beautiful about the Lord. We get so serious and, oh, he wants me to come to him at the throne of grace. He wants me to tell him how sorry I am. And I always appreciate how, Brother Hill, you say that. Well, if it makes you feel better to tell God you're sorry, go ahead. I'm telling you, it made people so angry. I can't believe he says that. The Word of God says that. It says he can't remember. What are you talking about? This is a time of love. I took away your sin. Justified. What is that? Do we have to go back to that again? What does that mean to you? I love you. I don't see that. When you love, there's a lot of stuff you don't see in somebody, do you? You cut them a lot of slack. I mean, a lot of slack. And when you really, really love, it doesn't even matter. That's our Lord. That's our Lord. And this is what he says to us every single time. Just hear me. Hear me call you my love. My love, my love. What does Paul's gospel say to you all the time? What is it? It's a gospel of the greatest love there is. And that's all he's telling you is, I love you, I love you, I love you. It's not what I want you to do for me or I want you to work for me. No, I want you to be still so I can look at how beautiful you are. And I want to hear your voice. I want to hear you talk about what we're going to be doing. I want to hear you talk about when we're bringing forth the ruling and reigning together. When we take the throne from our Father. Isn't that glorious? When we take it together. Because we're going to rule and reign jointly together. These are the things we're going to do. Let's talk about the lovely, the good report, the true, all of those things. Let's not dwell on those others. That's not what the bride meditates on. We're in love. We're in love. Brothers and sisters, his mind is only on her. Our good hinders us from God's best. When we go trying to help everybody else and we're going to just put God on the afterburner here, it's not going to work. We need his mind, and that has only us on it. And here's what we're seeing here. In her blind goodness, what she tells him there in verse 17 is, turn away from me. What? What are you doing? Why would you tell the Lord to turn away from you? Well, here's what we're telling him when we're focused on everything else except what he wants us to be focused on, which is our love with him. That's it. She's telling him to turn away and to focus on ones that I'm divided from. Bring them back. Fix the separation, Lord. That's what the mountains of Bether means. Bether means means division. She wants it repaired. Sure, we want division repaired. Sure, we want to not be separated from our loved ones in a sense in this fellowship of the truth. But let me tell you something. This is about your sanctification. This is about separation to him from everything. this is the vessel that is only for the master's use. And now we're back to, lovest thou me more than these? And see, we can get romantic in our own head and we can think that, well, this is so important and we have to repair this and we have to. And I'm telling you, as a pastor, I tell you, one of the hardest things are divisions sometimes that come up in this meeting. And yes, heresies. But the Lord says there must be heresies among you. And I'm still having a hard time with that. But if I still pay attention to that, then I'm missing this. Even as a pastor, I need to accept what His Word tells me is going to be. And He's got it all, amen? And I'll tell you what, we go back to just like He told Moses when He was showing him His glory. What did He say to him there? And that's what's so beautiful. I'll have mercy upon whom I'll have mercy. He shows you His glory, it's because He'll have mercy upon whom He'll have mercy. He didn't have a whole host of them up there with Him, did He? He had one. One. And it was the one that went in there and talked to Him face to face. Where are we talking to Him? We're way beyond face to face when you're in His bedroom chamber. Say it like it is. It's beautiful. It's glorious. It does make you smile and say, how you get a hold of us, how you deal with us as humans. You're the greatest God there's ever been. Jesus gets me. Because He's got me. But He does. He knows how to deal with us. He made us. And here we are. And I thank the Lord. I thank God I'm human. I thank God I've got flesh. I thank God for this. I thank God with the mind, with the heart. I serve the law. And I am so thankful to God I get it. What a glorious battle it is that with the flesh I serve sin. It's marvelous because it's His plan. I'm not just sitting around here all day long. Oh, I wish I didn't do that. I need to get out of here. No. Trust God. Are you wonderfully and fearfully made or not? I believe you are. If you're listening to this and feeding upon this glorious strong meat gospel, praise be to God. All right, let's close it out here. So He wants separation from everything. But see, we go unto Him out from among the camp. We don't separate ourselves. We just go unto Him. But if we're distracted with everything else, if we're trying to bring everything else and create stuff in our own hands and walk our brother's walk, and I'm the one that's going to be the father in the faith to you to move you along, you are way too much about yourself. Way too much. And these are, again, just excuses, which are very sad that the enemy is giving you, that you won't be ready. You won't be ready. And He's showing us, and we're going to see how she wasn't ready. He came to the door to show her she wasn't ready. And think about how much she's known about, and matter of fact, she knows she's married. She knows about wedlock. She knows about all this. But are you a readied wife? Are you a distracted wife? The wife hath made herself ready. A readied wife. Readied wife. Prepared. In it. Not sometimes, constantly. Not just because it's here, but because it's who we are. But here's the good news. Here's the good news. She's it to Him. You're it to Him. That's the good news. Whew. I thought I was going to miss it again for a minute, but wait a second. He said, nope, you're it. Isn't that glorious? See, He just keeps coming back. Honey, even though we have our moments, even though we have our moments, He's faithful. Faithful to bring us running back in first love the moment we sense we have moved away. I'll give you just a little taster. If the Lord tarry and we get back together, let's read the first couple verses of chapter 3. So listen to what happened to her. By night on my bed. You don't want to go back to your bed. She was just with him in his bed. She even called it our bed. Do you remember that? Yes, she did. He took her down there right away. Bam. But now, how'd she get back to her bed? You don't have separate rooms. No, you don't. But what happened when she's on her bed? I sought him whom my soul loves. I sought him, but I found him not. You don't find your bridegroom on your bed. And she says, I'll rise up now. I'll go to the city and the streets and the broadways. I'll seek him whom my soul loves. I sought him, but I found him not. We'll get back to that story. And matter of fact, we're in it. But we've all been there. And this is the chastening of the love. This isn't to punish us. This is a longing that's building in our hearts. This is willed. This is a beautiful thing. But it's something we have to understand. This is a red alert, brothers and sisters. This is a red alert to apprehend the first love. Stop messing around. And once again, you don't want your own bed. You want his bed because that's where he is. You want to be that vessel only for the master's use. That's where the full joy is. And I am so thankful to God, saints, that we know these things. We see these things. But what we see all the way through them is he abides faithful. And he will have what he has sought. And he will. So rest. Praise God. Rejoice. And as this becomes real to us, this is the motivator. The grace of God is always the motivator. Hallelujah. Let's stand, be dismissed.